Please join me in prayer. Lord God, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, all through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the light of the world. Amen. The Greek word for transfiguration is literally metamorphosis. Meta means change. Morphos means form. Jesus' form was totally changed at the transfiguration. Like a caterpillar transfigured into a butterfly, or a spring bulb into a daffodil, a tadpole into a frog, like crucifixion into resurrection. The transfiguration is a foreshadowing, an important foreshadowing of Christ's resurrection glory before the passion. It's God's affirmation, God's exhortation for Jesus to stay on that path of the cross, that glory will emerge from the shame. Now, the transfiguration also reminds us of something extremely important. What happens to Jesus happens to us. You see, the heart of the gospel is transformation, even transfiguration. You see, we have a God who accepts us right where we are, but he doesn't leave us as we are. As the scriptures say, behold, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So let's hear now from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up, do not be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus needed to get away and pray. He needed a mountain retreat. He was on his way to the cross. Now, Jesus didn't go alone on this journey. He took with him three of the 12 disciples, Peter, James and John, we read. Jesus took them. We read that he led them to a mountain, not just any mountain, but a high mountain, either Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon. See, Jesus always takes us with him in the journey to transfiguration. Sometimes it's just an open invitation. Come to me. Other times, Jesus grabs hold of our hand and he drags us up the mountain. But either way, we're truly never alone on this journey to transfiguration. Father, is it your will? Must I go there? I want your will, not mine. Show me what to do. Jesus' answer from God was a resounding yes of affirmation of his son. Miraculously, on that mountain, we read that Jesus' face, it shone like the sun. His clothes dazzled as light. Two new characters appeared in the journey, Moses and Elijah. Moses, who gave the law. Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets. Both the law and the prophets testified to Jesus at that Mount of Transfiguration. All three men had had mountaintop experiences in their lives. Moses received the Ten Commandments on which mountain? Mount Sinai. Elijah heard the voice of God, not in the fire, not in the storms, but in that still small voice when he was on a mountain. And then Jesus. Earlier, he taught his sermon on the mount. Here, he was transfigured. And soon he would be crucified on a mountain as well. And then Peter. Thank God for Peter, right? Ever the man of action, fill the mystery with mansplaining. Wow, this is cool. Moses and Elijah. Let's build something. While Peter's jaws are still flapping away, we read a bright cloud appeared and overshadowed the six of them. This bright cloud was none other than the Shekinah glory, the very presence of the holy and living God in their midst. And a resounding voice of affirmation spoke from it. This is my beloved Son, within whom I delight. My favor rests upon him. Listen to him. It's like the words at another key point in Jesus' life, at his baptism. Listen to him. Boom, they hit the ground flat on their backs. Presence of our holy and almighty God will scare spitless any man, woman, or child. So when Peter and John and James recovered and came to their senses after this encounter with God, we read that they looked up. Another translation says, when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. You know, we love Moses, right? We love Elijah. We study their stories in Scripture. We look up to them. We're inspired by them. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus who stands alone, head and shoulders above the rest. Jesus stands above us, but he doesn't stand against us. Jesus goes to us. He stands by us. He gets closer. He even kneels down, touches us. And then he lifts us up. Rather than a pointing finger, he gives us a hand up. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Get up. Metamorphosis. Change. It's scary. It's messy. See, life is always changing every single day, but there are some times where we're more aware of it than other times. There are changes that we make, like, right? The ones that we decide to make. Sometimes those are good. There are changes that are made for us, changes made to us, changes of gain, changes of loss, neutral changes, needed change. It can all be discombobulating, frightening. Even good change can be scary. Change is scary because we're entering the unfamiliar. We're entering into mysterious terrain that we've never been before. We're creatures of comfort in our lives. We like the familiar. We like predictability of the status quo. Even if it's miserable, at least we know what it is, right? Change is a way of putting us flat on our backs. Just ask the disciples. I just read one of my absolute favorite books of all time. It's called The Choice, written by Dr. Edith Eva Eger. She's a psychologist and also an Auschwitz survivor during the Holocaust. They say that she was a teenager during that time. She's like Anne Frank if Anne Frank survived. It's a modern classic. Please read it. But she says that in the face of our fear, oftentimes we think that we only have two responses, that of fight or flight. But at Auschwitz, Dr. Eger could neither fight nor have flight. That was not two options for her as a prisoner. But Edith did forge a third path for her to follow, that she could follow, and that was flow. It was her choice to flow that helped Edith to get her through that living hell and to not stop until she found healing and forgiveness, taking her all the way back to Auschwitz again some 50 years later to revisit the very site that she experienced as a prisoner, and she found healing. Get up. Don't be afraid, Jesus says to us. You see, with Christ, we can stand up, not fear, and flow. Jesus says, you can tell others about it. Not yet. Wait for the right time. Wait, but you can share. See, flat on our backs, when we go through our own personal metamorphoses, we pray and we look up on our backs and we see Jesus looking upon us, listening. God, I want to be transformed and transfigured into your image. I don't want to be stuck in my old ways. Help me to adapt, to grow, to learn, to change. Life is different, and I need to be different for this new stage that I'm in. See, Emmanuel, hear this good news. Our God is a God of the mountains. Both the Mount of Transfiguration and the Mount of Crucifixion. We need both those mountains. One mountain prepares us for the difficulties of the other. There's Mount Tabor, and then there's Mount Calvary. And these are two very different mountaintop experiences that we have in our lives. And God is there at both mountains. And God uses both mountains in our lives to grow us and to transform us. In one mount, God is revealed in glory. On the other, God is revealed in shame. On one mount, Christ's clothes dazzle. On the other, Christ's clothes will be ripped off and gambled away. On one mount, Jesus is surrounded by Moses and Elijah. But on the other, Jesus is surrounded by two thieves. On one mount, a bright cloud appears. On the other, darkness descends. On one mount, Peter blurts out the wonder of things. And on the other, Peter denies Jesus. On one mount, the voice of God declares that Jesus is the beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. And on the other mount, the voice of a Roman soldier declares, surely this man was the Son of God. You see, this is our hope of transfiguration, even when we find ourselves with Christ on Mount Calvary. Believing that God is in it all with us, in the laughter and in the tears, in the shame and in the glory, in the pain and the joy, in the victory and the defeat, the despair and the hope, the life and the death. Christ is there. Through all this, God's changing us, growing us, using it to fashion us into the image of Christ in the crucible from one degree of glory to the next. As Jesus says earlier in Matthew 13, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. And we can trust that. because Jesus' destiny and our destiny are forever intertwined. So Emmanuel, make that stewardship from glory to glory. Amen.